You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Osteoporosis is a serious and costly condition. It's a bone disease that happens when a body loses too much bone, and that can lead to fractures. The National Osteoporosis Foundation reports that 54 million Americans have the disease or low bone mass that could lead to osteoporosis. It leads to 2 million broken bones every year. And St. Luke's Hospital here in Idaho is reporting that between 60 and 100,000 people just in the Treasure Valley are at risk for or already have the disease. The hospital has an osteoporosis and bone health program designed to treat it and to also try to prevent fractures. Joining me live in studio is director of that program, rheumatologist Dr. James Lovelace. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
What is surprising to me is that this is considered a crisis. And the why I say that is because when I was growing up, we saw all those commercials on TV. We saw the actress Sally Field being a big advocate for taking care of your bones. How has this become a crisis and reversed almost?
Well, that's a great question. There are a number of factors that have come into play, creating really what you might think of as a perfect storm. There's patients who are doubting that they would have osteoporosis when they fracture. They don't think it would be due to osteoporosis. They think it might have been due to some other cause. They think it couldn't happen to them. There is a misperception in the community about the potential risks of medication. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, all of us, myself included, as a busy clinician, we're so busy we sometimes don't get around to talking about osteoporosis with our patients. This has regrettably led to an increase in fractures in our society after two decades of steady decline. And that, hence, is the crisis.
So there was two decades of decline, and now we're seeing this go back up. And so a lot of it does have to do with those factors that you gave. But also, who's at risk for this? Because it used to always seem like women were targeted.
Correct. So you could easily create a profile of patients who are at risk. That would be any woman over age 65, any man over age 70, or perhaps those over age 50 with risk factors. Mm. Those risk factors might include family history, certain medical diseases like, say, diabetes, or things like a 2-inch loss of height, lifestyle factors like excessive alcohol consumption or tobacco use. And there are certain medications like corticosteroids that also increase the risk.
So what can you do then to try to prevent this? And I know we were talking before the program that you said this is really, even though it's an adult disease, it starts in childhood. But for those of us who are out of childhood, I mean, can we start reversing this process now?
That's right. So it takes a lifelong consumption of calcium to build up your bank of bone calcium from which you will draw calcium as you get older, usually starting around age 50, which also happens to correlate with the time of menopause. What you can do to prevent osteoporosis is actually fairly straightforward. You need calcium by way of diet and supplement. We usually recommend somewhere between 600 milligrams and 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day, and vitamin D3, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 units per day. Also, weight-bearing activity, and then lifestyle issues, such as active exercise, maybe 30 minutes a day of weight-bearing activity, mm-hmm. Avoidance of tobacco use or excessive alcohol consumption.
And let's get back to this calcium supplement and the amount that you suggested. Does that include also the calcium that you would consume in food, or should that be what you're taking in a supplement?
That's right. So it varies from patient to patient. Some patients avoid calcium in their diet at all costs because in many cases it causes GI distress. Mm-hmm. For those patients, we recommend that you have to take a little bit more, probably closer to that 1,200 milligram. But if you have calcium in your diet by way of dairy products of any sort or green vegetables, then the 600 milligram usually falls in at about the right amount.
But you said you would recommend that any adult take a calcium supplement.
Everyone is low. You can't build bones without calcium or vitamin D. So regardless of whatever else we do, those are required building blocks for your bones.
I'm talking with Dr. James Lovelace about osteoporosis and bone health. So I want to talk now about the program that has been put in place to try to get us back on track as a society with this, because it's shocking to think of how many people just in the Treasure Valley. We're not even talking about the entire state of Idaho.
Yeah, so if we look at the number, let's look at hip fractures, for example. There are somewhere between probably 500 and 1,000 hip fractures each year in the Treasure Valley. Now, let me tell you about a hip fracture. First of all, hip fractures are very painful, and they result in hospitalizations, unwanted surgeries, loss of independence, and increased mortality. The cost to our society is tremendous, more perhaps than the cost of heart attack or stroke. And yet this sort of falls under the radar. So We have modeled our program at St. Luke's, like many other successful programs around the country, for example, Mayo Clinic or Kaiser Foundation. And it's a osteoporosis and bone health program. This is a highly collaborative team of very dedicated individuals who have taken it upon themselves to try to reverse this trend of increased fractures. It's innovative and it's transformative. It's part of the population health movement mm-hmm. that we're all doing. And what we do is that we try to identify patients who have either fractured, and there are about 50 fractures per week within the St. Luke's system that qualify as osteoporotic fracture, age over 50 and ground level fall being the main characteristics there. And we identify those patients and work with their primary providers to get them diagnosed and on treatment. Or we try to identify the even greater number of patients who are at risk for fracture but have never had a fracture.
So what does the program look like?
Well, the glue that holds the program together is the Fracture Liaison Service, and this is run by a nurse navigator. The nurse navigator has access to our database of fractures and is able to comb through this database weekly to identify patients who have presented to the emergency rooms or have been admitted to the hospital, and we actually communicate either face-to-face with these patients or by letter to tell them that they very likely have osteoporosis on the basis of their fracture and that we need to get them in to see their primary care provider or come see us at the osteoporosis clinic.
And then within that, what you do is just help them maybe with lifestyle changes, things like that?
Well, we do a lot, actually. So the first thing is accurate diagnosis, and we work with our radiology department to perform the diagnostic test, which is known as a DEXA scan, a very safe and reliable tool to diagnose osteoporosis. Once we have the diagnosis, then we proceed with evidence-based approach to get them on medication that will help reverse this bone calcium loss, strengthen their bones, and prevent future fractures. Now, this all requires calcium, vitamin D, and then we partner with our physical therapists who teach patients balance and fall risk reduction and a number of other measures. It also includes nutrition and many other areas, so it's a multifaceted program.
So would you even know, I mean, you're a doctor, you know the signs and the symptoms, but for the average person, I mean, do you have to break a bone to figure out if you are potentially at risk?
Yes and no. So if you're over age 50 and you break a bone, you probably have osteoporosis. And at that point, you should be talking with your healthcare provider about being tested. Even if you haven't broken a bone, if you are female gender, after the age of menopause, possible family history, perhaps some of the other risk factors I mentioned, loss of height, you can be pretty well sure you have it. Either osteoporosis or what we sometimes refer to as osteopenia, which is borderline osteoporosis. And there are things you need to be doing to prevent those fractures as you get older.
Once you have it, is there any way to reverse it or slow it down?
Well, what we're really talking about here are fractures,
Okay. Right?
This is all about fractures. So it's nice to have a DEXA scan that looks good, but in the end, we're hoping to prevent fractures. And yes, the treatments we have reduce the risk by anywhere from 60 to 90%. Mm-hmm. So it used to be thought that it was an inevitable consequence of aging, you see, but it's no longer that way. And yet, in spite of our efforts and in spite of the efforts of many around the country, we're having trouble getting this message out.
So if you are a woman over 50, like you said, and have these, you know, potential risk factors, did you just go ask for this test to be done then? Because I would think, as you said, you know, doctors are busy. We're all busy. Mm-hmm. And should we be advocating for ourselves?
Yes, I think so. A proactive approach is needed, and I would recommend talking with your healthcare provider about your potential risk and your concerns, and it should be easy for them to consider ordering a DEXA scan. You know, they're relatively safe, or they're very safe and relatively affordable, especially in this day and age, and there really would be no barriers to getting a DEXA scan.
And then you can continue to do those lifestyle
Yes, things. And this requires a lifelong treatment program. There's not a point when you're done with treatment. Mm. Once you have the risk, or if you've been diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, it will require lifelong management, sometimes going on and off medications in a cyclical fashion, taking calcium, vitamin D, exercise, and those things.
Well, what was interesting to me when you talked about the hip fractures is that I think historically that is something where we all know someone who has fractured a hip, and they are usually older. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of seems that, well, if you fracture a hip, it's kind of old age, which maybe is partly what you're saying, but is it that bone health as well?
Yes. So it is true. As we get older, we become less strong. Maybe our balance isn't as good, our eyesight. Factors that might lead to falling and then fracturing do increase, and part of that does go along with aging. But, you know, what we find, a lot of our patients who fracture a hip, if we look at their timeline of their medical history, they had a fracture maybe of a wrist a decade or so earlier, and that was a sentinel event, a red flag, you might say, that if treatment would have been implemented at that time, probably would have prevented a hip fracture. We feel that at least 50% of hip fractures are preventable. And keep in mind, this is not just about a broken bone. 25% of patients who fracture a hip die within the next year, and it's preventable.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this. I don't think most of us knew that our bone health was, A, so important, but that osteoporosis is back on the rise.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. If anyone's interested in this topic, I would encourage them to look at the National Osteoporosis Foundation website, nof.org, where there is a wealth of information available.
All right. Thank you so much. Good conversation. I've been speaking with Dr. James Lovelace. He is a rheumatologist.